ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा टू एवरीवन। सो दिस टेक्स्ट इज फ्रॉम भागवत गीता चैप्टर 2 व्हिच इज एंटाइटल्ड कंटेंट्स ऑफ द गीता समराइज्ड टेक्स्ट 71। एंड बाय द वे बिफोर आई रीड द संस्कृत, द रीजन दिस टेक्स्ट वाज चोजन इज दैट आई होप थ्रू द मर्सी ऑफ गुरु एंड गुरांगा टू डिस्कस वन ऑफ द मोर इम्पोर्टेंट एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ डिवोशनल लाइफ दैट वी हैव टू बी अवेयर ऑफ, एंड दैट इज द फॉल्स ईगो। सो Bhagavad Gita 271 Vihaya kamanya sarvan pumam charati nispriha nirmamo nirahankara sashantim adigacchati. Word for word translation: Vihaya, giving up, kaman, material desires for sense gratification, ya, who, sarvan, all, puman, a person, charati, lives, nishpriha, desireless, nirmama, without a sense of proprietorship, nirankara, sorry, nirahankara, without false ego, sa. He, Shantim, perfect peace, Adigachati, attains. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship, and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. To become desireless means not to desire anything for sense gratification. In other words, desire for becoming Krishna consciousness, sorry, Krishna conscious is actually desirelessness. To understand one's actual position as the eternal servant of Krishna without falsely claiming this material body to be oneself and without falsely claiming proprietorship over anything in the world is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. One who is situated in this perfect stage knows that because Krishna is the proprietor of everything, everything must be used for the satisfaction of Krishna. Arjuna did not want to fight for his own sense satisfaction, but when he became fully Krishna conscious, he fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. For himself, there was no desire to fight, but for Krishna, the same Arjuna fought to his best ability. Real desirelessness is desire for the satisfaction of Krishna, not an artificial attempt to abolish desires. The living entity cannot be desireless or senseless, but he does have to change the quality of the desires. A materially desireless person certainly knows that everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasham idam sarvam is Upanishad Mantra 1. And therefore, he does not falsely claim proprietorship over anything. This transcendental knowledge is based on self-realization, namely, knowing perfectly well that every living entity is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna in spiritual identity, and that the eternal position of the living entity is therefore never on the level of Krishna or greater than him. This understanding of Krishna consciousness is the basic principle of real peace. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sa Advaitam Sa Abadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripasunibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Om Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desitarini Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratise Namaha Ananda Nilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divyacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's the text again. Vihaya kamanya sarvan pumam charati nispriha nirmamo nirahankara sashantim adigacchati. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. It's very interesting that Krishna has ended this particular instruction to Arjuna. He, or for that matter, she alone can attain real peace based on giving up desires for sense gratification. Krishna says all desires for sense gratification. That means we should cut off the desires for sense gratification from our lives. And then he continues, the one who lives free from desires. Well, and that one we have to talk about a little longer, because the Prabhupada says you cannot have a life without desires. But Krishna knows exactly what he means when he put it that way. Our life should be Krishna-centered. So when a person, when Krishna is describing to us that the person who can attain real peace is the one that lives free from desires, it means the desires for oneself and the extension, the material family also, their desires. They all have to be not cut off totally, but dovetailed to Krishna's desires and Krishna's satisfaction. So when we turn our attention to satisfy someone else's desires, then clearly we have compromised or given up our own desires. And if we've given up our own desires, then on a personal level, we are free from desires. Because desires are there, but we have directed it to the personality that we want to direct it to for good reason, for our good reason. But it's not just our good reason. And for Krishna, if we direct our senses, our desires to satisfy his senses, we get the benefit. Because Krishna is a loving being. And if you direct your love to him, he directs his love to you. The extent to which we surrender. Now, why surrender? We'll talk about that too. Extent to which we surrender, Krishna rewards accordingly. Well, we have to surrender. One big reason. How can we not surrender if we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You surrender to the boss. You can't control the boss. The only thing you can do is surrender to him. And then he makes your life comfortable or happy or directs it as he likes. Now, the wonderful thing is Krishna is a very benevolent King of Kings. In any of the expansions or incarnations with which he comes to this particular planet, everyone benefits tremendously from what he does. So why would we not stay with them? Why would Guru not direct us to him? So, a person who has given up all desires for sense gratification and lives free from desires for themselves. And again, since Krishna owns everything, he says that in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the source of all material and spiritual. Everything emanates from me. And he says, those who are wise and understand that, they give their whole hearts to him and then they worship him without any stopping, any compromise, any break, any retirement, nothing. It's all worship with this physical body as best as the physical body can help us to serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So, one who has given up sense of proprietorship, all sense of proprietorship, well, what do we own anyway? We are born here with nothing. As babies, we don't own anything. When we leave the body, we can't take anything with us. So really, we can't own anything. In the real sense of the word, we cannot. Whatever is with us has been given to us by Krishna's arrangement to see what we will do with it. So a devotee should be smart enough to understand, one, we don't own anything, and two, whatever is in our possession now is in our possession. Now, when something is in your possession, it doesn't mean you own it. Someone can give it to you for a period of time. And that's exactly what's happened to us. We've been given something for a period of time. And Krishna is watching to see whether we'll use it to satisfy our senses and our desires, or whether we'll direct it towards Krishna consciousness so that we can benefit ultimately from doing that. So that's our situation. Now, if we are going to direct our senses, sense gratification, for Krishna, if we are going to satisfy the senses of Krishna and give up all desires for sense gratification for ourselves, well, then we better not have a big ego for ourselves then. Because you see, it doesn't work. Those two things, not wanting desires for ourselves, not wanting our senses to be satisfied for ourselves, if those things are what we're living by, we can't have a big ego then. Because these three things don't go together. They just don't. And so, Krishna is emphasizing this point. A person should also be devoid, should not play into their ego and say, I'm the one. I'm the controller. That's ego, but that's a false ego. It's not real ego. Real ego belongs to Krishna. And we tap into his real ego by being servants of a servant of a servant of Krishna. And in that way, we can attain real peace. Krishna says real peace, which means there is some peace also that seems like real peace, but it isn't. It's fake. And that is what we try to get by satisfying our senses. We think we are satisfied. We think we are peaceful. But the world is not designed for us to ever live in total peace. Because this place is a house of correction. The material world is just what it is. It's jail. Sometimes we call it like it is. It's jail. We can't expect and should not expect total happiness in jail. We will be a little bit satisfied here and there, but for the most part, we are in a suffering condition. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, to become desireless means not to desire anything for sense gratification. In this world, Many people are trying to satisfy their senses, and they call that happiness. And I remember a lecture by, I heard the CD of a lecture by His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj. And he was practically laughing when he was talking about this. He was telling his disciples and those who had gathered there, along with his disciples. He said, enjoyment? What enjoyment? You don't know real enjoyment. What you're doing there for sense gratification, you think it's enjoyment, but you don't know real enjoyment. And he kept repeating, you don't know real enjoyment. You don't know real enjoyment. And he was laughing through it. Basically, almost like mocking anybody that thinks sense gratification was the best thing for them. So, all of that is, well, if that's not true, if you look at it, that's not true that we can be happy satisfying our senses, then how do we become happy? Well, happiness comes from the heart. We put it that way, but actually it comes from the soul, because the soul is in the heart area. Everybody has a physical body. And of course, when we're born, we keep aging and we go through challenges. Sometimes we are quite vulnerable and our parents help us, and or whoever our guardians are would help us. And then we grow and then we learn about life. Many times we go through the hard knocks of life. And then we find out our body is not always functioning properly. We get sick. And then over time, if you haven't got there, you will. When you stay in this earth and stay alive, you get old. And then the body slows down. Do so many things that in the mind you still want to do. But then you find out your body can't keep up. I'm learning that the hard way now. You can't keep up. And so you have to adjust the way you live your life in order to be able to keep going on. And then, of course, there's death. Now, which death obviously makes a lot of people upset because they've lost association. But the death process is also quite painful. So all of this adds up to a rather challenging and not so pleasant life. But Krishna says, if we give up all our senses, our sense gratification tendencies, and we live free from desires, only serving Krishna's and Guru and devotees' desires, and give up all sense of proprietorship, like we own things, and devoid of false ego, then we can be peaceful. All right, so Srila Prabhupada is saying, one who is situated in this perfect stage, as Krishna has described it, they know that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And that's the best thing to always keep in the back of our minds. So everything must be used for the satisfaction of Krishna. And that is the correct thing. If he owns everything, then everything should be used for him, according to what he wants. So Arjuna didn't want to fight at first, because he was looking at his own satisfaction from fighting, and he saw the other side where people who had actually raised him, loved him, directed him, taught him, and they were the ones going to fight him. Many people would say, no, I won't do that. They would even say it wouldn't make sense to do that. But when we satisfy Krishna's senses, we'll never be wrong. That's life. Life is about serving Krishna's senses according to the instructions coming through his representative, the Guru, the bona fide Guru. So Srila Prabhupada says, real desirelessness is desire for the satisfaction of Krishna, not an attempt to abolish desires. So you don't stop desires, you just direct it for Krishna's satisfaction. Everything belongs to Krishna. It's Upanishad Mantra 1, Ishavasham Idam Sarvam. So that is something we need to be aware of at all times. Transcendental knowledge, the Prabhupada said, is based on self-realization, namely knowing perfectly well that every living entity is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna spiritually, and that the eternal position of the living entity is never on the level of Krishna. We can't be at the level of Krishna or definitely greater than him. That's out of the question. It never will happen. And anyone who thinks that way, like the demons do, they want the world, they want things in the material world outside of Krishna's control. Krishna still controls, but they want to think, they want to plan, and they want to convince everyone that they are in control. Even though they also came to the world with nothing and they leave with nothing, they still think they are in control. So this understanding of Krishna consciousness is the basic principle of real peace. All right, now, so part of what Krishna was saying is that the person who is devoid of false ego. So what's ego? Well, in other ways of expressing ego is to say a person is proud. A person thinks that he's on top of the world. A person thinks that he has the answers to everything. Well, no man is an island, as they say. You know, island is a body of land that is surrounded by water. Everybody depends on someone else. And if we try to live life on our own, we'll find out that it doesn't work. No matter what we do, we have to connect with someone for our life to go on, even this material life. It's like that. So, false ego. We are told in Krishna consciousness that that's one of the most difficult things to overcome. False ego is in devotee life as well as in non-devotee life. So those who are non-devotees, they don't realize that the ego is false. They think they have real ego. They think that they can be on top of the world and they have to just compete and put other people down if that's what it takes to get on top. And this is at the personal level, at community level, is at a national level, and it's at the international level. And because of this competitive spirit rather than cooperative spirit, we are suffering in this world. So we've imposed suffering on ourselves by not cooperating. It's all up to the international level. We don't cooperate. People are trying to exercise a false ego. And of course, at the international level, that's being done from the point of view of the strength of a country's military. In other words, how they can bully others, the extent to which they can. And somebody else said, well, no, I'm also going to try to get to that level. So false ego manifests at a personal level all the way up to international level. So a few situations that we encounter from living our lives, sometimes false ego creeps in and sometimes we don't realize that it's there. So here are a few examples, and we'll do a question and answer form, just myself asking the question and then also suggesting some points. And this is some of what Bhaktivedanta Swami talked about. See the Prabhupada also in his workshop, Bhaktivedanta Swami's workshop, and Srila Prabhupada's lectures. So, how does false ego manifest for the materially successful? Now, many of us think life is going to be a little easier on us when we are materially successful. Well, I remember one radio talk before I even answered this. Very, very successful. Right now, he's in a stage of cancer, the body's getting ready to quit on him. But his contract, from what I heard, was $280 million over the period of time that he was supposed to be this talk show host. So somebody asked him a question, because people could call in. Asked him a question, so are you happy because you're very rich? He answered fairly honestly. He said, money can do a lot of things, so that part is good. But real happiness doesn't come from money. I haven't felt totally happy. Some satisfaction is there because, you know, whenever you want something done, there's the money to get someone to do it for you and pay them. And so many things materially can be done. But real happiness hasn't come from the money. Well, he's right. You serve Krishna, then you get real peace, and peace with peace, you get happiness. So how does false ego manifest for the materially successful? Well, you know, we become proud. The person that is materially successful thinks that he is the doer, that he has become successful due to his ability. Sometimes it trips into being arrogant. in the terms of the fact that when there are mistakes that the person makes, they don't want to accept their mistakes, even though that's one of the four defects of a human. Mistakes, cheating, imperfect senses, and being an illusion. Those are lectures in and of themselves. So a person who is materially successful can easily be led by their own mind to think that they are the doers of everything, and they become successful themselves based on their ability. After all, they went to school. After all, they studied hard. After all, they did an exam and they passed and they got a degree, or they started a business from their knowledge and they become materially successful, not realizing that one, even for a devotee, karma plays a big role. Previous life, something they may have done positively has made it possible for them to be successful materially this lifetime. But they don't think that way. I'm the doer. A person can be arrogant, not accepting mistakes. And then, from an emotional point of view, the person can be insensitive or sometimes even exploit people that are under them as their subordinates. Exploit them. And sometimes they become so proud, they look down on other people because those people are not successful like he or she is. So this is what happens, some of what happens when a person is materially successful and not humble. And then the false ego kicks in like that. What about what happens with our false ego when there is failure? Now you would think that false ego and failure? Well, a proud person, if they failed, maybe they'll be just quiet or they wouldn't want anybody to know. Well, actually, yeah, it is part of it. Fear steps in. Krishna says we should not be fearful or worry. Masuchaha. But still, some people feel, well, they are supposed to be so successful, so when there's failure, then they are afraid that somebody may find out and they would be embarrassed when the failure is exposed. And so they are afraid of that. Afraid of the, you know, fearing that, you know, things would come out and it would affect their reputation. Well, also, sometimes we have a service, even devotional service, and we're so attached to the results, even though Krishna says we shouldn't be attached to the result. This is why he says that. He takes care of results. But sometimes we think that we are not doing well in the service, even when we put in our best, that now we feel we don't want to keep up with the service anymore. That's also the false ego that says, I'm supposed to be successful. Things are supposed to be work based on what I expect them to be. And since they're not coming up that way, then maybe I shouldn't continue the service. Yet in devotional service, we're supposed to put in our best. That's it. Put in our best and leave Krishna with the results, how things come out. So, sometimes we make a mistake and we get so disturbed by it, we think we're a failure. Mistake, the air is human. People do make mistakes. We don't have perfect senses. Therefore, we will not make everything perfectly well each time. We shouldn't think that we're a failure just because we made a mistake. And worse, sometimes if we're working with others, we tend to blame the other person for our own failures. Oh, the people did not do their part properly and that's why I failed. Yeah, sometimes that happens. But nobody is perfect. If they are putting in their best, you shouldn't, you know, get on their case when things have gone a little wrong. We should just be helpful in terms of how they can get on the right track so that the whole thing works properly or to the best that everybody can do. Now, sometimes emotionally, because we think we failed, we get depressed, which doesn't help our physical body at all. Now, how does false ego kick in when we are by ourselves? By ourselves. Can a false ego affect us? The answer is yes. Because sometimes when we are thinking about situations, especially we're thinking about situations that are not so positive, we begin to sometimes make life hard for ourselves. Perfectionists You know, with those of us who are perfectionists, we know that very well. Too hard on ourselves. Or sometimes we say, we are the best. We think we're better than everybody else. And we convince ourselves we're better than everyone else. Sometimes we say it, now we'll come to that part, but that's when we say it, that is when we are among other people. But by ourselves, we believe we're the best. Or sometimes we feel we don't need anyone else and become comfortable with that idea. That's also false ego. How does false ego kick in? When we are with people, family members or not, just people. Sometimes we want to be noticed and adored by everything, everybody. Not everything, but we want to be a showman. I can do this, I can do this. They want attention. We want attention. Prestige, distinction, adoration. And then, worse, sometimes we become insensitive and begin to manipulate people. We try to show we're better than most people, and then we want popularity. Or worse, sometimes we try to hide who we really are and what our shortcomings are. We try to hide it so that no one can see the real we, you know, with the shortcomings that we have. We try to hide that. How does false ego kick in? When we're elderly. Oh, do elderly people go through false ego? Well, be surprised. Sometimes we say, oh, this body used to help so much. I could get a lot done when I was younger. Now it's old. And so since it's old, it's useless. So I should not, you know, I should not do anything. Just give up. Well, not in Krishna consciousness. It should never work like that. Ahoitiki apatiyata. We should never, ever work in, put our energies into devotional service expecting something back. Krishna would help us, yes, but we shouldn't do service expecting something back, and you should definitely not interrupt our services. I'm old, therefore I shouldn't do this. No, you can change the service to suit what your physical body can do because it's older, but you don't stop. Lord Chaitanya told Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, he was 90 years old then, and he had to travel from where he was at, and then begin to, and he wasn't admitting it. He couldn't even see properly, but he wasn't about to give up the service, even though his body was old. So he never complained, and he wrote it, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's a good example there. The body is useless, so I should give up and not do anything. That's not the way to do devotion service. And also sometimes take advantage of, older people take advantage of a culture and just overdo it by imposing their age on others and demand, do this, do that, do that, do that. Why are you not respecting me? Why are you not this and so on and so on? I'm older. Well, the culture is there, and we definitely pay attention to that in terms of giving respect to old people. But when you're an older person, you should appreciate it, not expect that it should be done for me because I'm old. If you expect it, then that's false ego. If you appreciate it, that is nice. If you expect it, it is false ego. Even though younger people would do that, that are well trained, they will in fact be respectful of older people. So that's false ego when we're elderly. What about the other way? Where does this false ego kick in when we're young? Then the mind tells us, I can do everything better. So because of that, we don't want to listen to anyone because we think we know what is best. Again, that's false ego. How does false ego kick in when a person is atheistic? Where they think everything is for my efforts. God didn't help me and God does not help me in anything. We want to enjoy ourselves without thinking of the consequences. We take nature, anything from nature, and no belief in God. So we just take it and do anything that we want with it. And even if there's harmful side effects from what we produce, we don't even care to clean up. Many companies are like that. And that's why the earth is in a bad situation as far as its health goes. Now, that's atheistic. What about false ego when we're spiritual? We begin to compare our knowledge with others. If we think we know better about spirituality, we know better about God. You don't understand God like I do. So, in many walks of life, false ego is there. False ego has weapons for every walk of life, practically. So we have to be careful. It's like a snake that can strike at any time without us noticing. So what do we do? Well, we have to be cautious. It's like, well, we gave an example of false ego like a snake. So you can look for it and get rid of it. Because if you don't, it will bite. So for everything that we do, we should question our intention. And if we make that a practice, you'd be surprised how many times intelligence kicks in and directs us properly. First of all, in the morning, we should dedicate the day's activities to Krishna. That's saying, Dear Gurudev, Dear Srila Prabhupada, Dear Lord Gauranga, please have everything I do today be according to what you want. It's a very important prayer, because then you put your case for activities of the day in front of Krishna. Of course, in this age, the Yugadham is the chanting Hare Krishna. So that we have to do. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But we should also say that let everything that we do be according to what you want, dear Radha De Krishna, or dear Lord Gauranga. If it's something, you know, we have our minds. Yeah, we do figure out things. We have an intelligence. We figure out things. So we make decisions. That's true. But what we're talking about is the decision should be approved by Krishna. So you pray like that. Please, Guru, please, Krishna, please approve this. And if you don't like it, or if it's not good for me, then stop it or change it. Or even as my Guru Maharaj likes to put it, sabotage it. So that way, if we start our day thinking that way, then you know, everything that we do, if it works out, it works out because Krishna wanted it. Krishna approves it. And if it doesn't, then we don't go crazy because we think, oh, I'm trying to do this and it didn't come out that way. We say it's still Krishna's mercy. Krishna is in control. And in that way, a different thing will happen. It always works. I don't know one time it hasn't. You will get a different approach or a different strategy or a different decision will come. And then in the end, you look back at it and say, oh, what I thought of at first wasn't even better. What happened the second time or the third time is much better than what I could have figured out myself. Yes, I figured out myself means you're talking about your ego then. But when we open up our minds and free it by being more meditative, waiting for the results while we're working. We're still waiting for the results. So the entire thing should go on. The activity is being, you're working, right? Activity is going on. But at the same time, our prayer is for Krishna to guide us through everything. And I'm talking about material too, not just spiritual only. All activities, occupational duty, our spirituality, spiritual activities, our sadhana, all of that. We're very fortunate at this point, you know, that Srila Prabhupada, through his mercy, has obtained Krishna's permission, and now we don't chant 64 rounds. As a Vaishnava should, we chant only one quarter of it, 16 rounds minimum, and still can go back to the spiritual world, as long as we do our sadhana properly, and as long as we're not offensive. Offenses, that's another lecture, maybe that will come later. But we have to be very careful. So everything that we do, we should question our intention. And that's the last point I want to leave you with. Where is this coming from? Why am I doing this? Is it from hankering for adoration or distinction? Or to show that I have all the answers? Or is it from understanding the spiritual rule of law and also the mode of goodness activities? So if it's for adoration or distinction, I want to show that I'm better than everyone else, then that's not something to do. And when Krishna sabotages it, we should be grateful because we're asking for trouble in our spiritual life if we do that. But if it's from the spiritual rule of law, which comes from hearing, Srila Prabhupada said chanting is most important, but hearing is the first thing we should do because that's where you get the guidance. So we should be very careful about false ego. Because sometimes in the text, we don't even know that it's doing it until later. But hopefully with these points here, how it sneaks in on us, false ego sneaks in on us, we'll be more careful about it. So, Hare Krishna. So here's the text again. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, and who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. Hare Krishna. Guys, so my assumption is maybe you can ask questions now. If Nina Mataji, is that the thing to do now? If you can start 16.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances.
Accept mine.
What a wonderful path.
Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy.
Yes, Ravji, it's so good. It's such an in-depth analysis, and you, what I really like, you showed us how to operate. I mean, to question our intensity at every moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important, Ravji. Thanks for showing such practical ways. I mean, we have the theoretical knowledge, but to apply it in day-to-day life is so important. Otherwise, it's not really, you're not doing it consciously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Ravji. Wonderful,
Krishna's Krishna's mercy. Yeah.
I don't have it. If anybody has any questions, please ask Prabhuji. We are very fortunate to have his association, so please do ask him. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Jai. Jai. Except my God, Shri Prabhuji.
Very important aspect which we, even devotees, overlook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my Guru Maharaj, very good example, like, when you go for a book distribution, he says, everybody has a label on the chest, make me feel special, make me feel important.
Hmm.
So, like, everybody has a movie going on in their head in which they are the hero and the whole world is rotating around them.
Yes.
Devotees, if they stand in the center, then they can avoid such kind of, they should do whatever they do for Krishna in the center, then they can avoid this kind of false ego. Even when devotees, the false ego comes, like, some people, they like to talk a lot, but they won't listen to others.
Mm.
They want to be the center always.
Mm.
So, yeah, very nice. You have analyzed the topic, and it was very essential to analyze this threadbare. Thank you, Prabhu. And I don't know any questions, but yeah, I just have a comment.
Yeah, very nice comment. Very nice comment. So, to add to this, you know, what we've talked about earlier, it's very important, you know, not to feel that we are ones with all the answers, because One just seeing that, a thought just came to my head, and that is, if we had all the answers, then we would have been the only creature on this earth. But if we won't need anybody, what's the point of Krishna creating anybody, anyone else, if we had all the answers? So we don't. Krishna deliberately makes it such that the answers come from other people too, and you have to work as a team. Because some people are strong in one area, another strong in another area, and we work together, nobody trying to pull, you know, push their weight on someone else. Then the team works wonderfully. And that's the way life should be. Hare Krishna. Jai. So, any other comments or questions? Jai. Jai. Lord Srila Prabhupada. Any other questions? Okay.
Prabhuji, wonderful class. Nice to hear you after a very long time, and they explained the most important verse, that all the verses are important, but how Krishna concluded the chapter, and the implementing the same thing in our real life, that's very wonderful, Prabhuji. When you said the difference, even within this spiritual knowledge, still we can have that ego and comparison. That's so wonderful, because that you said, I know God better than the other person. We don't know how the God reveals himself to each devotee and how close the devotees are in their path. That is known only from the God's view. So that's so nice. Very wonderful place to see. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Glory to Gurudev. Yeah, we can't really know, you know, more than anyone else, because we compare like that. Krishna himself is unlimited. So how can anyone really know so much about Krishna? Our knowledge is minuscule, very, 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 very small, but enough for us to be able to serve each other first, serve each other, then serve Guru, and from that we learn to love Krishna that way. That is the order. So we can't use a false ego and then, you know, try to put others down and think that we'll be successful. We can't be successful spiritually that way. It doesn't work like that. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any other
Yes, so not related to this class, but generally in business situation is going on, this pandemic is going on.
Uh-huh.
What is your understanding of that? Like, people are so tense nowadays and so much under pressure, economic recession.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is your, like, it's very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness for many people. Sometimes, yeah, we can't do devotional services like we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we can't go to temple with social devotees. So what is your suggestion, especially social devotees, what is the suggestion on compensating for those things? It affects the devotional service, right?
Yeah, very important point you brought up, because the reality of things around the world now is what we used to do has changed quite a bit. Some things are there, but many things have changed, and even the way we serve has changed. So it's a temporary situation. The world is always changing, and it's been changing, but this is very obvious. Because we had ways of associating and having prasadam together, and all of that has changed now, at least for a while. Now, we got to remember something. Lord Shiva's prayers, this is a long thing, and we'll 33 texts. Lord Shiva's prayers that he gave to the prachitas. There's a part of it that he said, describing Krishna, he said that for this material world, I'm paraphrasing it, with this material world, some people think that they are in control, but no, they are like a mouse that a snake is watching, and the mouse doesn't realize the snake is watching. And then in the snake's own time, by the snake's own will, he pounces on the mouse and devours the mouse. That is the way that Lord Shiva was describing the demons, like mice, and Krishna as the snake. Krishna is always the one in control. So the point we're making is things may be temporarily changed now based on some other people's plans that want to control the world without Krishna in the center. That's going on without getting too political about it. Now, the thing though is, just like the Battle of Kurukshetra, and not just like the whole Mahabharata unfolded, many people did many things, some of them pious, some of them not pious. You were on Duryodhana's side, you didn't do anything pious. Duryodhana got, he was warned, even his brother warned him, and he still would not stop. Being so envious of Yudhisthira. So they wound up fighting. He had a bigger army, he thought he would win. But when you're on the side of Dharma, Krishna will be on your side. And in the end, the war ended like Krishna wanted it to end. And so the point we're making is, whatever is going on, we should do our best to serve with what's available to serve with. Right now, most things can be done only electronically. True enough. And we do things at home. Like right now, my family and I, we play every 3 o'clock Eastern time on Facebook. You go to Stress-Free Harrisburg. Stress-Free Harrisburg. You'd see me on the keyboard, and my girls are playing Kartals Mudanga, and the whole family is singing. To relieve stress. But actually, we sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it's actually to, you know, introduce the mantra, you know, to Harrisburg, and of course it's Facebook, so it goes to the whole world. Now, that's something we could do in the temple, but we can't use the temple now. So actually we've gone bigger electronically with the whole world. If you know of it, you could tune in every, you know, Saturday at 3. So today at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that happens. What we really mean is, what? Yeah.
Can you share it later? The link, can you share later? Where the broadcast link?
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Because, our PR person puts the ad out and everything. So I'll just forward it to Nina Mataji, and then you guys can get it. So, Hare Krishna. So, we find different ways to serve. There are 9 ways to serve, you know, the exchange. service with Krishna, and the hearing, which we've done this morning and we continue to do, the chanting of Hare Krishna, that's there. We still can do it. There are no hard and fast rules. Thanks to Lord Chaitanya for doing that. So that's there, and that's the Yuga Dharma. That's the most important thing to do in spirituality. That wasn't taken away from us, and they can't take it, you know, whatever they do, these demons that are planning things. But in the end, the point we're making is, you know, so I don't lose track of this. In the end, it's Krishna's plan. The results are going to be based on what Krishna plans. Just like the way he ended the Kurukshetra War. Duryodhana wanted to be the, you know, king, next king. He didn't get to be that way. And his father supported him. His father was also quite upset about it. He himself had to leave the Hastinapur palace and go to the forest. So it will end according to what Krishna wants. But we should be wise in terms of keeping our sadhana going and also doing the material preparation. Because, you know, now there are riots going on. You don't know whether at some point, you know, some curfews are being imposed now, which means our movement is being restricted even more. So then we should have bhoga enough at home stored that we can go on, you know, offering and then having prasadam. We should definitely keep in touch with each other because association is important. But since we can't meet physical association much, then electronic association becomes important through sometimes video type or audio like we're doing now. All of that we should do more. Now, when I make one point about it, and that is just one last point about it. And that is, our sannyasis, many who have, you know, disciples, or prabhus with disciples, and other sannyasis and other senior devotees that used to travel around and preach, are restricted from travel. But because they can make themselves available electronically, especially through Zoom, now more people are able to hear them at once. It used to be they'll go to a particular part of the world and then those people will hear them. But now, since, see, in with all of this happening, the technology is also, by Krishna's mercy, has advanced to the point where we can hear worldwide situations at once. So now there are sannyasis who we haven't heard from, in different parts of the world, haven't heard from for a long time. They can make themselves available, you know, and sitting in one place, and then they preach and so many people hear it. So there are some benefits for all kinds of disturbances. Sometimes benefits are there, Krishna conscious type benefits. That's there. So no, we're not associating like we used to, but that's temporary. Everything in the world is temporary anyway. So it will change. And in the end, it will be according to Krishna's plans. So we can do the best that we can. We should do the best that we can in associating with each other, you know, with what's available now. But in the end, we'll see Krishna's hand in all of this. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu. There are a lot of positive points also. So many Maharaj and good sannyasis are on the Zoom calls and Facebook nowadays. You know, my Vaisheshika Maharaj, earlier I used to have only one class with him on Facebook once a week.
Yeah. Yeah, so in a sense, it's electronic, but it's benefit. It's great benefit that's there. So we'll see what Krishna would do. It's always, you know, my Guru Maharaj used to, one time, I'll just say this, we had a sadhana, darshan with them, to his disciples, when he was in Girinagri. And it was very animated. I mean, he corrected us on a lot of things that we needed to work on. But he was also looking at the state of this society, ISKCON. And there were some things he was unhappy with, because ISKCON is always evolving. And it's Lord Chaitanya's movement, so nobody can actually break it from outside. But he was literally saying a few things to us that should categorize as confidential. But he was extremely excited, literally. He was sitting on an armchair at that time because his legs were bothering him. He wasn't sitting in lotus posture. And his both arms and hands, he was banging on the arm side of the armchair, both arms, and he's screaming, "What is Krishna going to do about that?" And he was so excited. He says, "Yeah, we'll see what Krishna would do about this." Because he knew that things would have to change. So now we're in a situation where you can say, we'll see what Krishna will do about this. Right now everybody's walking around like we're surgeons. As funny as it looks, everybody has a mask in their face. Yeah, just when you look at people, it looks funny. But anyway, some research has been done. We know about the COVID-19 or coronavirus situation, when it's active and when it's not. But right now, and information has been given. Universities have done research on it. But still, we're wearing these masks. And I'm not going to say anything about it. We keep it on for purposes of protection. That's understandable. But can you imagine we're going on week in, year in, year out like that? So Krishna will have a last say on this. It's only a matter of time. Hare Krishna.
So, bro, there are communities like Jain community who always wear it like that. So
yeah.
It's not new human beings, the mask.
Yeah, it's not new. I'm saying that, but the regular human being doesn't wear a mask walking around. That's the point of saying now we have to because of things that have changed. I'm not putting it down. I'm not putting
it down.
Go ahead.
And this one, not pretty soon. So maybe 1 year, 2 year, when the vaccine comes out, we slowly have to get used to it, a different way of life, and still continue.
Okay. Well, we'll see what Krishna does in this. But we'll see. His devotees have to be just on the lookout. We'll see his hand in all of this. It's only a matter of time we'll see his hand in this. Hare Krishna.
It's a very nice point you said, that. Very reassuring. We have to wait for what Krishna does. Like he is always the final hand. True. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Any other comments? Questions? Okay. So we can end now, hopefully.
Yes.
Jai. Yeah, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.